The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. That's Luke, chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. "Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him."
On last week, we started a series, and we was looking at the conscience, and I was going to be talking about the gift of the Son on today, but we're going to postpone that for next week, and we're going to do part two of the gift of the conscience. When we consider some things, especially the conscience, we must keep in mind that God is a God of goodness. It is the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. When we consider that, we also think about meek instruction. How we understand that it is through meek instruction, it is through the instruction of God's word with the right attitude, that hopefully God will grant man repentance unto the saving of his soul. But we know that godly sorrow works repentance. Friends, when we consider these things, I want us to take into consideration part two of the gift of the conscience, developing a wholesome guide. Well, last week, we brought out some things concerning the conscience. And we have a lot to say this morning and a little time to say it, so hopefully we'll get it all in on this morning. But last week, we substantiated that God is made man in his own image after his likeness, Genesis 1, verse 26. We know God himself is mind, according to Job 7 and verse number 17. So it stands to reason that we have been made in the image of God, which is mind. God is an intelligent being. God himself is conscience, and he has given us a conscience as well. We established on last week that the conscience is part of the soul that determines and tells us the difference between right and wrong, moral and good, godly and ungodly, righteous and unrighteous. It prompts us when we violate our conscience, and it approves us when we do that which is right according to the education that our conscience has received. Friends, when we think about the conscience, it is definitely a gift that God has given us. We set the record straight last week with the scriptures, with Titus chapter 1 and verse number 15, understanding that there is a difference between the mind and the conscience. We saw that man's conscience can be good, Titus 1 and verse number 5, but it also can be weak, 1 Corinthians 8 verse 7, and defiled, same verse. Yet God wants our conscience to be pure, 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 9. He wants our conscience to be purged from sin, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. God wants our conscience to be developed. And friends, this is what we have to do as well. We have to develop our conscience. I struggled with this particular lesson today, and the reason why is because I was asking myself, how are you going to bring this lesson across? I want us to think about some things as it relates to the conscience, because when we think about people giving gifts this month, or next week, people are going to be gathering as family, giving gifts to one another, and that's great. We need to. We need to give each other something as it relates to our love one for another, even if it is just a hug. Or saying, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful that God has put you in my life. But one thing that God has given us, friends, long before we started giving each other gifts, is the gift of the conscience. He has given us his word in order to educate that conscience. He's given us parents, hopefully, in the Lord that has taught us and has been our conscience until we have developed it ourselves. The reason why I think about this, friends, is because in developing a good, wholesome guide, we need a good conscience. We need a conscience that God himself has developed through his word. But what is the conscience? It is simply this. It is joint knowledge, co-perception. It is where the word of God, listen to this, friends, it is where the word of God and our understanding comes together. Which means that if the word of God and our understanding never comes together, we never develop the conscience that God desires. That does not mean that we don't have one. But it does mean that it is not developed the way God desires it. In Proverbs chapter 20, if you will, turn your Bibles there, you'll see something that's very powerful here. And friends, this is a very challenging lesson. And the reason why it's challenging, because there is not a person on the face of the earth that can escape this concept. Oh, we can escape skin color. We can escape financial boundaries. We can escape sociological boundaries. But you cannot escape the conscience. Why? Because every man has one. Every woman has one. Every child has one. Every girl has one. And the only one that doesn't have a conscience are animals and everything else. But mankind has a conscience. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 27, notice what your Bible says. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Friends, that's a powerful passage. The spirit of a man, the conscience of a man, the heart of a man. That's where God himself, with his word, that's where he goes inside of his conscience and he begins to work on him with his word. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11 as we substantiate this point in the New Testament. Friends, this is no new concept. Unfortunately, we have received our concepts from the world instead of the word of God. Here the Bible teaches us in the context of spiritual wisdom versus wisdom of the world. Don't have time to look at all of it, but notice verse number 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. How can I know what's in the mind of God unless God tells me? How can I know what's in the mind of man unless he speaks it? Or unless he acts it out. Friends, when we think about the spirit of a man, we're talking about his conscience. We're not talking about his mind. We're talking about the deep seat emotions, his will, his intellect, everything that makes him who he is. And friends, that's a gift. There's not an animal on the face of the earth, even though scientists want to think and feel, and they want to also impress upon us that animals can think like human beings. Friends, that is not so. God has given us a mind because he has given us a conscience. He has given us the ability to think, feel, and act just like he is. Friends, this is not a time to go to sleep. This is not a time to do anything else. This is a time for us to be thinking about who am I? What am I? What am I doing? And where am I going? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 16 through 18, which was read in your hearing. Notice this particular text, friends. And friends, this is a very interesting text here that Jesus himself gives us concerning the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 16 through 18, notice he gives us a parable. No one, when he has lit a lamp. Now you think about a lamp. What does a lamp do? It lights things up. But friends, during this particular time, just like today, a lamp is not just going to light up all by itself. It needs some type of source. In this particular case, they needed oil in order for that wick, in order for it to light up and light up the place. Well, we understand that the oil is going to be God's word. But when we think about the lamp, Psalm 119, verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But notice what he says. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Here it is. For nothing in secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. I have to stop and think about this text, Dennis. I thought about this text. Rick, I thought about this text and I thought about my own heart. And I went down into the deep crevices of my own heart. And it's amazing when the light of the Word of God goes in your own heart, what you see. That's the scariest thing in this life. The scariest thing in this life is to know what God's Word says and then look into your own heart and see some things that should not be there. Oh, I'm at your house this morning. Knock, knock. Who's there? Mike Bonner. What is he doing? He's preaching. What is he preaching? The Word of God. Friends, what's in your heart? God has given us a gift. He has given us a conscience. And this is why it's important for us to put the right things in our conscience. For when we put the right things in our conscience, it lights us up. It causes us to have the right attitude. It causes us to be respectful. It causes us to honor God. It causes us to see lost souls and want to do something about it. It causes us to even see our own lives and not lie to ourselves. Friends, what a gift God has given us. And no wonder when we come together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord's death till we come and we examine our lives. And when we examine our lives and find ourselves to take it worthily, then we can take it knowing that God is pleased with us. But when we take it in an unworthily manner, then God is not pleased with us. Notice what he says in verse 18. Therefore, I said all of that to say this. Take heed how you hear. Question. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Friends, we got these things in our ears. Especially, I've been a kid before. Our kids got these things in their ears. Y'all listen to me. I'm helping. I'm trying to help y'all go to heaven. I'm trying to help y'all go to heaven. You better watch what you listen to. You better watch the messages that's coming through your earbuds. You better watch what you listen to. Why? Because whatever you listen to is going to come out in your speech. It's going to come out in your actions. It's going to come out of your life. Friends, this is why we got to go to the Word of God. It is my necessary food. It is the lamp unto my soul. It is the light of the Word of God. Friends, when we stop and we consider this, notice what Jesus said. Mike Bonner didn't say this. The elders didn't say this. Y'all didn't say this. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Watch what you listen to. Watch how you hear things. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. God wants to bless us. But we got to put ourselves in a position to be able to hear what he has to say. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Friends, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in that chair where you are, I'd probably be shaking. And I'm preaching this. And every time I think about God's Word and it gets down to the crevice of my heart, sometimes it bothers me. Sometimes it builds me all the way up. And friends, I don't know how some people read the Word of God and leave happy sometimes. We are surrounded with so much sin. We're surrounded with all of these negative messages. We're surrounded with all of the immorality and the nudeness that is around us. We're surrounded with the immodesty. What do we do about it with our eyes? What do our hearts do with it after we see it? Our conscience has to filter those things out, and the only way that it can filter out is with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Question, what's in your heart this morning? What's in your heart this morning? We can develop our conscience with the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 119, verse number 9, 119, verses 9 through 11. Friends, as I was thinking about this, and I thought about how the conscience is supposed to work when it is properly educated and guided. Here we see that the psalmist says something about a young man. How can he cleanse his ways? Here it is. By taking heed to your word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thee, from your commandments. For your word is a heaven hidden. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Turn to Psalm 19. Look at verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Notice what your Bible here has to say, friends. If we ever want our conscience to be clear, to be clean, to be holy, friends, we have to go to the Word of God. We have to go to the true oil, the true lamp, the law of the Lord. Notice, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, much than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. Friends, what are you educating your conscience with? I'm not talking just to our young people. I'm talking to all of us. What are we educating our conscience with? Sometimes we walk according to our own understanding. What do we think is right? Well, this is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what I hope. But friends, God's word is a lamp unto our feet. God's word is what guides our path. God's word has the final say. It's going to meet us in the judgment day. God's word is what develops the conscience. So when we, as a people, are developing the minds of our young ones, parents, y'all listen to this. When we're developing the minds of our little ones, from the cradle to the grave, if you will, we are always striving to get our children to have a conscience that is devoid of defilement. A conscience that is derived by the word of God. A conscience that loves God and honors God. And friends, it is the father's responsibility to make sure that they bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the mother's responsibility to make sure that she guides the house correctly. Why? Because those children deserve to know who God is. And if you want to be a successful parent, teach your children God. Teach them God. Johnny Ramsey said last night on 102.5, we were listening to that on the way home, and he said, true success is not what we get out here. Where do we find that true success is in how much money you make? True success is knowing God. That's true success. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? In Psalm 127 and verse number 3, here we looked at this particular verse 2 weeks ago when we was talking about the gift of the family. Here we understand in Psalm 127 and verse number 3, I hope you're being challenged. I was challenged by this, friends. When I think about God's word, it doesn't always leave a smile on my face, but it always leaves me healed. In Psalm 127 and verse number 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Friends, God loves your children, and I know you do too. And because you love your children, do all that you can to instruct them in the ways of righteousness. Do all that you can to assure them that God loves them and that God wants to guide them and that God wants them to live with him throughout eternity. Friends, we are our children's moral culture, moral conscience, until they can develop it themselves. Friends, we stop and we consider God wants us to be a people who love him and honor him. Are we teaching ourselves through the word of God? Are we teaching our children, listen to this, about who God is? When is the last time you asked your children, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe about the one church? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about morality, homosexuality, marriage? What do you believe about work, good work ethic, Ephesians chapter 6? What do you believe about the work of the church? What do you believe about giving your heart all the way to God? What do you believe about these things? You know, we ought to ask our children as they're growing up, son, what do you believe about this? Get their thoughts. You want to know what they're thinking while they're young. You want to develop their conscience while they're young. So when they turn 17, 18, and they go off to college and these nut head professors get a hold to them and lead them astray, I said it, and I'm not taking it back. And then we say, I don't know what happened to my child. They were faithful growing up. Could it have been they were unfaithful in your home, but you just didn't know it? We have a responsibility with these small ones now to develop their conscience right now. Right now is the time. Right now is the time to teach them about what God says and teach them about how God is holy and he's righteous and he's just and he's loving, yet he's wrathful. We ought to teach our children about those things. Why? Look at Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19. Look at Matthew 13, 18 and 19. Think about this passage, Matthew 13, 18 and 19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. Brother Bonner, why did you bring this passage up concerning the conscience? Friends, if we're not careful as we're teaching our children the word of God and certain experiences and certain people come into their lives, they can actually take away the seed of God's word out of their hearts and we not know it. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as adults, as mature Christians, to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Oh, God has given us a gift. He has given us a conscience. And the reason why is because he wants us to identify with him. We ought to teach our little ones, obey God, love God, stay with God, trust God. You remember in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and you remember when God brought the children of Israel across the Jordan River? And he told the children of Israel, he said, put stones, 12 stones into the Jordan River. So when your children ask you, what mean ye these stones? You can ask, you can tell them what God did as it relates to bringing them across the Jordan River on dry ground and how he defeated the enemies as they went into the land of Canaan. Friends, this is how we ought to be when we are teaching our children the word of God and they ask, why do we take the communion? Why do we sing to the Lord? Why do we go on the first day of the week? Let me tell you what God did by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, developing their conscience. Wow. I don't know about you, but this is good stuff. This is good. You know why? Because all of us need to have our minds reinvigorated. We need to be reminded of what God did for us one day when we obeyed the gospel and had all of our sins washed away, Hebrews 9, verse 14. And because of that, it was the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our hearts. And now we can serve the living God. We can serve God. God is a good God. Friends, we can't assume that our children are getting it. Please don't assume that your children are getting it. Make sure. There are too many of us, and I say this, and I'm going to say it very nicely. There are too many of us that assume that our children was getting it, but they didn't get it. And the world swept them away, and now their conscience are weak. Their conscience have been defiled. They're not going to worship. They're not honoring God because of something that took place in their lives. And if you can help some young family, if you can help some young child, if you can help someone not go through what you went through, friends, it will be the good. It will be the good. It will be the good. This is a challenging, challenging lesson. And the conscience, it's either going to Romans 2, 14 and 15, excuse us or accuse us. It's either going to help us to know that we're doing what is right or do that which is wrong. The other day I was on Facebook and one of my Facebook friends lost their son to a murder. And sad, 26 years old. He's on FM 78, San Antonio, Texas, sitting at a light. Guy got out the car behind him. He didn't think nothing of it, I guess. Pop, 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 10 shots. Jumps in his car, goes the opposite way. Haven't found him yet. Question. If killing that 26-year-old man wasn't wrong, why did he run? Because his conscience. He knew it was wrong. Why is it when we go and we get our hunting license and we shoot a buck or we shoot a boar, we run to it and we put it on Facebook? That's what we do, right? Why? Because God has given us dominion over the animals. There's nothing wrong with it. You see the difference? Man made in the image of God, kill him, is wrong. Animals not made in the image of God, you kill it, is not wrong. You don't have to be in Christ to know if you're doing right or wrong. You just have to be made in the image of God. My heart hurts for that young lady. It hurts. I don't know what his son did, her son did, but I do know this. He's dead. 10 bullets. Nobody deserves to get killed like that. Right? That's wrong. But that's the society we live in, and there's a group of people that would say he had it coming to him. No, that's wrong. The conscience ought to say, you know what, I killed that guy 3-4 days ago. I need to go turn myself in. Why? I did that which was wrong. I say that to say this. This is why we preach the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience. This is why we preach nothing but the word. Not man's commentary. I love commentaries. I just don't read them. They're nothing but nice little ornaments in my office. You want to read them? You go right ahead. But I'm going to get it nice and raw. Get it right from him. One thing God will never do is lie to my conscience. Friends, man will. Therefore, we preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. We preach sound doctrine, Titus 2 and verse number 1. We preach Christ and him crucified. Why? Because we want the church that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for to have a clean conscience, a pure conscience, an undefiled conscience. We want men to love their wives and wives to respect their husbands and children to obey their parents in the Lord and elders to lead the church and preachers to preach the word and deacons to serve and members to go out there and be a light to the community. Why? Because we have a good conscience before God. Evelyn, I believe this. I know y'all do too. Friends, if your conscience has been weak or is weak, if your conscience has been corrupted or defiled, if your conscience is saturated with sin, we beg you, we plead with you, please come home. If you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away, in essence, what you're doing, friends, you are washing away your conscience with the blood of Christ. Therefore, you can serve God Why? Because that's where God put the cleansing power. He put it in the blood of Christ. And this is why baptism has to be commanded. And this is why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So what is God doing today? God is cleansing the souls of men through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And this is why he came to the world, to save us from our sins, that our consciousness can be cleansed from dead works, to serve the living God. You know what we're doing right now, friends? We are a bunch of consciences right now, serving God. We just so happen to bring our bodies with us. Ponder that for a minute. Because when you die, guess where your soul, your conscience goes? It goes to a waiting place. Guess where your body stays? On the earth. Guess where your spirit goes? Back to the God who gave it. Three-part being. Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They put his body in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and God raised him up on the third day. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. Power. Don't you know we got that power? We're Christians. We have that power. Which means that is nothing that you're going through right now, friends. Listen to me. There's nothing that you're going through right now that you can't overcome without the blood of Christ and the word of God. And your conscience can be strong, all because of what Jesus did on the cross and being raised on the third day. Oh, God is good to us. You heard the gospel. If you need special prayer, you come forward as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation.